Ace Podcast.
Weird.
Want to count to 100?
Yeah!
Count, 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 count.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Count, 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 count.
11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
Hey, Craig, happy 100.
100.
We hit the big 100.
We did.
Actually, we did a few weeks back. But anyway, who's counting?
No, we didn't.
This is officially
you
episode
100. You got Randall
100.
On board with that joke.
Randall, it's not a joke.
It's not 100. This is the official 100. This is the one you give out t-shirts for.
Okay, this is the
this
official.
This is the one. This is the official. We have a cake coming in here in a little while.
Oh, good. Is it chocolate or strawberry or what kind?
What's the kind you don't like?
None. There's no such thing. I don't like pies. There's a lot of pies I don't
you like.
You
like apple pie with cheese on it?
I do like apple pie with cheese. But
I'm going to try that one day, and if you're wrong, I'm going to punch you in the throat.
Oh, so good. But I really like every
cheddar
kind of
American.
Cake. I like cheddar. I like it a little sharp. A little sharp. But American works, too, in a pinch.
Americans always work.
Oh, not
lately. How
about
you wash
lately.
Your tone?
Not lately.
Hey.
What?
What's that supposed to mean?
Anyway, it's episode 100. How about that?
I know we talked about this
already.
We've
been going about a year now.
We've gotten and some big changes coming now.
Big change, yes.
As of right now,
that's
this
correct.
Moment,
yes.
Starting with a good round number,
100.
100.
Yeah.
It's kind of a round number.
Eh,
the one's
round.
Not so round, but the zero's are round.
There's two round numbers in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to start with one show every week.
Yeah, but we're going to blow it out. It's going to be awesome.
We're going to make it miserable for you.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we're going to make it really good. No, we're just going to do one show instead of two.
Yeah.
Not because we don't want to do two.
No, we just...
But it seems to be the trend.
One show a week is... The thing is, we haven't had the time to dedicate to two shows a week.
Right, we're busy.
We are busy.
We're not too busy for you, listener.
No,
we're just... It's just a lot going on.
You're number one. You're number one in our book.
Yeah.
Speaking of our listener, we got a review. We got a new review on iTunes, and this comes to us from Spontaneous.
Oh, I like Spontaneous.
Spontaneous says, comfortable conversations... And fun stories.
Like,
5 stars.
I like Spontaneous as long as it's not followed with the word combustion.
The These guys really work well together, and it's fun to sit in on their conversations.
I was wondering who that was the other day.
The news stories they bring are pretty fascinating, and I like their banter. How about that?
Oh, somebody likes our banter.
Thank you, Spontaneous. That's awesome.
Spontaneous. But you know what? I wonder if Spontaneous says that to everybody or if it's just random.
All right. You're going to have top story.
You're listening to me at this
point. I'm listening.
Point.
It's not random. It's
spontaneous.
Yes.
Right.
I got to hit two buttons because the top story is also a
top story.
In Florida,
You did one thing right all day long. Florida. Self-described drug dealer calls 911, reports stolen cocaine.
Hello, police.
This happens a lot.
You know, it happened last episode.
It's happened a lot.
It has happened a lot.
I guess we shouldn't raise drug dealers up to a level of intellect.
No,
right?
We because shouldn't. And you know, the world, in a lot of ways, the world was a better place before cell phones. Because they'd have to go find a
phone. They'd have to go find a payphone.
A quarter or a dime.
Yeah, they'd have to make a phone call.
Yeah.
Or go ask
somebody. Now they just reach in the pocket and it's right there.
Yeah, right there. And it's probably stolen. Really. Fort Walton Beach, Florida, calling 911 to report a stolen bag of cocaine probably wasn't the best idea for a self-described Florida drug dealer. But Okaloosa sheriff's officials wrote on Facebook that 32-year-old David Blackman.
Racist.
Did just that on Sunday morning. The Post says Blackman called 911 to report a robbery in Fort Walton Beach. Blackman told the responding deputy that someone entered his car and took $50 and about a quarter of an ounce of cocaine from the center console.
And my drugs.
The report says the deputy spotted some cocaine and crack rock on the console. Now, how do you know it wasn't Krispy Kreme sugar?
Exactly. Which is pretty much the same thing. We've discussed that.
Yes, we have. And a crack pipe. Oh, well, I guess Krispy Kreme doesn't hand those out. On the floorboard by the driver's side, Blackman is charged with possession of cocaine and resisting arrest without violence. You can be charged with resisting arrest without violence.
Yeah, it's
you think like, it's without.
Just, that's when you just go, nope, I'm not going to do
it. I mean, you just figure if you're going to go without violence, you should get some kind of points towards you, right?
Yes, you would think.
He was released from jail on Tuesday, but records don't list a lawyer. I've had lots of records growing up. None of them ever listed lawyers.
I've had REO records.
That's although, the only record you had. By the way, you saw REO in concert recently.
Oh, man. I don't know. Somebody
better watch it. Kevin won't be on the show. He's not going to be on.
I love Kevin Cronin. You know, REO Speedwagon's the greatest band in the history of music.
They're not, but okay.
They were. Let me put it that way.
At one time, they were a fine band.
They were so good.
At one point, for like an hour, they were really good.
The last few times I've seen them, I've told my wife, no, I'm not going to do it again.
You said,
it's exactly what I said. I said they're messing with the memories because I have fond memories of seeing Gary Richrath wailing.
You say that again?
Gary Richrath wailing on his guitar, kicking his leg back in his signature style and just tearing the roof off the place.
He's not there now. He can't do that.
He's not. But anyway, so this concert came up this weekend. It was REO Speedwagon, Styx. Those were my absolute two favorite bands in high school. And then one of the Eagles, Don Henley. No, Don Felder. Don Felder. Yeah, yes. Don Felder. And he was great. Don Felder was really good.
If you say so.
But REO came out, and I was just like crushed. But here's the thing. I told Lori I wasn't going. Her uncle contacts us and says, by the way, if you guys want to help with REO's charity work, then we need some help at the arena. So what we did, we didn't have to buy tickets or anything. They gave us these wristbands, and we went and we had full run. We could go anywhere we wanted.
Except backstage.
Couldn't go backstage. But
then you didn't have full run.
We could go to the stage, go right up to the stage. So we're selling CDs between bands. And the one rule they had is you can't sell the CDs while the bands are on stage. Well, I was like, great. That gives us free run to go to the stage and, you know, watch these bands.
Right.
Wish I hadn't been there. Although Styx was amazing. And I had a good time selling, helping with the charity. This the charity
was
money.
Was it the Kevin Cronin?
No.
Buy a walker for Kevin charity?
No, it was for the Shriners Hospital.
Okay.
Who all the money went to. Anyway, great time at the Styx show.
That story really seemed on the onset that it was going to be a lot better than it was.
It's bad.
But anyway.
I'm explaining to you why I ended up back at an REO Speedwagon show.
Why don't you tell our friend the story about the customer?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, back to it.
That threatened to shoot someone over a bad sandwich.
Headline is, customer threatened to shoot someone over a bad sandwich.
I've heard that somewhere before.
This comes to us from Ohio. Police in suburban Cleveland say a fast food restaurant customer, angry about the way his sandwich tasted and looked, threatened to shoot somebody over it. That's bad.
That's bad.
That's a bad sandwich right there.
But who is it? Who is it again? Who we talk about all the time?
The police department reported receiving a call Tuesday about a man storming into a Steak and Shake. Ooh, Steak and Shake restaurant, acting crazy, saying he had a gun and was going to shoot someone.
They don't take kindly to that.
No. Nowhere in the country do they take kindly to that. Police say the 20-year-old man complained that the eggs on his sandwich was runny and slimy and looked like spit.
Wow.
That's disgusting. And I know what he's talking about. He's talking about their grande sandwich.
Is it like the Red Robin one that's got the egg
on
it?
Yes, yes. Okay. And it's really good, too.
I've been to Steak and Shake a total of one time.
Oh, I like Steak and Shake.
I didn't care for it. No, that's not true. I went in one other time and got just a milkshake, but I've had their food one time.
They're a little pricey, even though they have that value menu. You don't get full, so you got to order like 17 plates.
You don't get full.
So this guy was in custody Wednesday, pending a court appearance for aggravated menacing charge. And police say he actually didn't have a gun to start
with. Well, then they should say, okay, he didn't have a gun. Okay, just don't do it again.
So you're saying...
No, I'm kidding. They shouldn't do that.
You're saying that you prefer over Steak and Shake maybe tacos.
All I'm saying... Well, yeah, and that's probably the next story. I see what you did there. But no, I went to Steak and Shake once thinking it was going to be really great, and I just didn't find it that great. But I should probably go. I did the same thing to Whataburger, and I waited nearly 40 years.
Bingo.
And I went back.
Give it another shot. They've got
really
good chili. If you like chili...
I don't want chili if I go to a hamburger place.
Get it on your burger.
Although Crystal used to have really good chili.
Oh, Crystal's got decent chili.
Wow. You think people fall asleep yet waiting for the taco story? Taco troubles. Man, taco troubles.
Eat tacos.
Man threatens to get gun over wrong order at Rigoberto's.
Wait a minute. This is the same story only with tacos. This is the same story we just read.
I'm starting to wonder if you're manufacturing these.
I'm not manufacturing. These is not fake
Los
news.
Alamos. Alamos. I just want to say that again.
Someone turn off the Alamos. I can't sleep.
Los Alamos resident Lex Norman, Deans, 48, was arrested on charges of disorderly conduct and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon at Central Park Square.
That's right next to Central Park Circle.
Right.
If you didn't know.
Around 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, July 8th, Los Alamos Police Department Corporal Jamul Montoya?
That's right. He means the Montoya.
Was dispatched to Rigoberto's Taco Shop.
They dispatched him. Oh. That's kind of harsh.
Yeah, you think you get a second chance for a male individual that was being loud and disorderly. Well, that could be us.
Could be.
Montoya arrived. Wasn't he in Princess Bride?
I don't know.
Anyway, arrived on the scene and found Deans at the counter being argumentative with workers behind the counter.
I've seen that. I've been in restaurants where that happens.
While standing next to Deans, Montoya said he noticed a strong scent of liquor emitting from his person. Wait, from... Montoya's person or from Deans' person?
From his person.
Deans began to be aggressive with workers, making the patrons very uncomfortable.
So Deans asked his person to wait outside until they got through ordering.
Right. When, what?
Deans is my person.
Oh, yeah,
he's person. I'm sorry, he smelled like liquor.
You have to take your person outside. When Montoya moved closer, Deans noticed the police officer and reportedly said, "Oh, it's come to this." Montoya spoke with Deans outside the restaurant to get a sense of the situation. Apparently, Deans' food order was wrong and the restaurant employees would not change it. Montoya spoke with one of the employees who told the officer that Deans threatened to retrieve a gun out of his car if he did not get what he wanted.
We've had a lot of violent fast food stories today. I'm going to switch gears. Have you ever had a neighbor that...
I've had lots of neighbors.
That gets mad at you about something on your property or vice versa. If you're getting mad, like, you know, a refrigerator on the porch. We live here in Tennessee, you know.
No, I had a neighbor with a dog at our first house we ever had.
Yeah.
Not ever had, when I was married.
Noisy? Was it noisy?
I had a dog that would not shut up. And the houses were close to each other, and he would just bark all night long.
Okay, that's different than what I'm about to read, because that's an official complaint.
Yeah.
You got to sleep.
That's official.
Headline is, a neighbor asked her to fix up her yard, so she responded by placing 100 pink flamingos
yeah, baby.
In the front yard. How's that for fixed up?
That's going above and beyond. How much do those cost?
When a Los Osos woman received a passive-aggressive note from an anonymous neighbor, they're always anonymous, too, if they're,
right,
they're passive-aggressive, complaining about the state of her yard. Her first reaction was dismay. Her second was to turn one person's negative into a positive for the whole neighborhood. How? with 100 pink flamingos and a block party.
Okay, so we're going to put the flamingos out, and before anybody gets upset, we're going to have a party.
That's right. Katrina Von Contant.
Sure. That's the closest.
And her husband were excited when they purchased their home in Los Osos earlier this year. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to do our yard yet because we've been so focused on making the house safe and ready to live in. So that's a good reason. Right. They just hadn't had time or money. Van Conant said that she added that she has a plan to landscape the yard with sustainable drought-tolerant plants, but hasn't had the money due to other repairs the house
needs.
She's
trying to get business in order. Superficial stuff just ain't matter.
It can wait. It can wait. So the couple were sad and discouraged when a neighbor left them an anonymous note asking them to care a bit more and do something about the condition of the yard.
Glad I don't live next to that person.
Really. My initial response was like, oh my gosh, I feel bad. Why would someone be offended by our house? Van Conant said.
I just love to hear you say that.
I changed it every time. We met our neighbors directly around us, and they're really sweet people. So we were excited to move to Los Osos because of the unique sense of community. But she came up with another idea, Craig. She would start a GoFundMe and buy 100 plastic
pink
flamingos.
Nice. I was
going
to say, how is she going to afford the flamingos? But she did a GoFundMe and people jumped on it.
It originally started as a joke, but quickly grew into something where, you know, people want to donate to this type of thing because nobody likes these people that do this type of thing. Her $550 target is up to $700 as of Wednesday. So in addition to helping finance the flamingos, she's also going to use the money to throw a party for all her neighbors, which will include an adult slip and slide. With the rest
going... Is that a slip and slide that, you know, you get it out of the box and you let it grow for a while?
Yeah,
and it becomes an adult?
It's got to mature.
You're right.
Yeah, with the rest of the money going toward landscaping her yard. Van Conant put the flamingos out in her yard last Friday and said the response has been great. On Monday morning, however, she woke to find that all 100 were missing.
Oh, no. Yes. She should have thought to spend money on a camera, too.
She drove around the neighborhood with a friend and was able to recover about 55 plastic birds. I wonder who took them.
I wonder who.
Yeah.
It's usually the first person you think of.
That's true. She doesn't know who took them or who wrote the original note, but they're welcome at the party, she says.
And you know what would have been awesome is if that Jack Wagon had done that at the party, everybody could have left with a free flamingo.
That's right. That would have been a blast.
This is making me want to do a GoFundMe just for a block party.
I'll be there.
You don't live on my block.
I
cannot allow that.
I live down the street.
You live like 20 minutes away.
I do not.
15.
Maybe. 10.
Okay. Whatever.
10.
Parrot witness case. Michigan woman guilty of husband's murder. A woman has been found guilty of shooting her husband 5 times in a Michigan murder case, apparently witnessed by a parrot.
This is terrible.
Look at her name.
I know. This
Glenna.
Glenna.
We can't speak.
You better be. Don't get a bird. No, get a bird.
Get a bird. Yeah, the bird's going to be the. And not one of those flamingos.
No, not a pink.
Glenna Durham shot her husband, Martin, in front of the couple's pet in 2015 before turning the gun on herself in a failed suicide attempt. How bad do you have to be not to be able to kill yourself?
Oh, she's in a bad way,
the
man.
The parrot later repeated the words, "Don't shoot," in the victim's voice, according to Mr. Durham's ex-wife. The parrot, an African gray named Bud, was not used in the court proceedings.
I want an African gray parrot, by the way.
That'd be awesome.
Mojo. Did you ever see Mojo at the local pet shop we used to have?
No.
Yeah, he's gone now. They sold him.
I wouldn't mind having a sloth. We met a sloth in Florida.
Did.
That was pretty awesome.
I've seen pictures of it.
Some would say that I'm a sloth.
Yeah, some.
The jury found Mrs. Durham, 49, guilty of first-degree murder following a day of deliberations. She will be sentenced next month. She suffered a head wound in the incident in the couple's Sand Lake home in May 2015, but survived. Mr. Durham's mother, Lillian, said it hurt to witness Mrs. Durham emotionless in court as evidence was presented in the case of her son's death. It just isn't good. Just isn't good. 2 years is a long time to wait for justice, she said. Mr. Durham's ex-wife, Christina Keller, who now owns Bud, the bird.
Yeah, not the drink.
Earlier, that'd be a reason. I mean, if you want motive.
Sure.
If she was going to be the heiress to, you know, the Bud, you know, Bud is the bird in this case.
It is.
Earlier said she believed the parrot was repeating a conversation from the night of the murder, which she said ended with the phrase, "Don't shoot," with
bird.
An expletive added, teaching that bird to talk that way. Mr. Durham's parents agree it was possible that the foul-mouthed bird had overheard the couple arguing and was repeating their final words. I personally think he was there, and he remembers it it and was just saying it.
You know, Mr.
Durham's father told local media at
the
time.
People think that you have to repeat things for birds to learn. They don't.
No,
they
get to repeat things to you.
Yes.
Over and over again. His mother, Lillian Durham, added, "That bird picks up everything and anything. Well, he should pick stuff up. It's a very strong bird. And it's got the filthiest mouth around." The prosecutor said it was unlikely the bird would be called to the stand to testify as a witness during the trial.
You know, I don't condone swearing or cussing, but when I hear a parrot or any kind of bird,
it's kind of funny.
Kind of go on a rampage, it really makes me smile.
It's kind of funny.
Hey, we got another bear story.
I like bear stories.
And it's also a... Headline is, bear wanders into Wyoming house, poops in the living room. And
he wasn't delivering an Amazon package, was he?
A Wyoming man said he woke up from a nap to discover a bear inside his home, and the animal took two poops before wandering away.
I would trade. I'd let him take the poops.
Take them.
Take the poops.
Max Brider.
Nobody gets hurt.
Said he woke up from a nap Saturday afternoon at his home in Upper Cache Creek Drive in Jackson to the sound of his 10-pound dog, Rocky, yelping.
Help! Help!
He's probably helping, help. Not yelping. Brider said he got up to take the dog outside, but he spotted a large animal in the kitchen that he mistakenly initially took for a large dog. At first, I thought it was a dog, Brider told the news, but I started to wake up and realize that's a bear.
That's a bear.
Brider said he and the bear stared at each other for eight to ten seconds. That's a long time to be staring at a bear.
And they're both going,
Before he broke away and locked himself in a bathroom. Not the bear, Brider.
That'd be better if the bear had done it.
He said he called the seven other people who were inside the... Good grief, was this guy live in a hotel?
I don't know.
He said he called the seven other people who were inside the house at the time. And they
wanted them to run out and get eaten by the bear.
Y'all go check the kitchen. They also locked themselves inside rooms. Brider said the sound of yelling roommates and Rocky's barking apparently made the bear uncomfortable. It made me uncomfortable. I'd leave.
Yeah, right.
The bear walked into the living room, took two poops on the floor, Brider said, and then it broke out of a screen window and proceeded to run down the hill.
Couldn't just walk out the door.
No. He said, I'll tell you what I think about your yapping dog.
Poop on this, I'm going to bust that window.
Homeowner Sandy Hessler was in Montreal.
He's like, look, here's the deal, okay? I can poop and go out the window and tear up a screen, or I can eat one of you. Which do you want?
Okay, here I go. Sandy Hessler was in Montreal at the time of the incident, but was updated by her daughter and roommates. I'm not sure what to do because we have the windows open all the time, Hessler said. The whole idea that we could be sleeping and a bear walks in, well, I've never thought about
it. If you're in Wyoming, why would you leave the windows open knowing the bears are everywhere?
There's bears everywhere. They're driving cars in Wyoming.
Yeah.
Brider said the Wyoming Fish and Game Department was informed of the incident, but officers decided not to try to track the bear. Apparently, he had a pooping problem. They said that he was told that they would take action if the bear returns to the home. You know, that'd be too late. I wouldn't stand by for that. We'll be back if the bear comes back.
The bear probably has more rights than they do, though.
True. A Utah man reported a similar encounter earlier this month. Old Bob Anderson. You remember Bob, don't you?
Yeah, Bobby Anderson.
Yeah, Bob, old man Anderson's boy of Park City, said he was eating a sandwich when he discovered a bear inside his home.
What kind of sandwich it was?
He chased the Bruin out through the garage, but the bear slipped back inside while he and authorities were searching out. This is like a comedy.
Wow.
It's like Three Stooges. The bear escaped a second time by jumping from a second floor deck to a tree.
You know, there's that show. I need to watch more of them. I think they're still on, called Mountain Men. And there's like several different people from different worlds. And there's one guy is like in somewhere, not Wyoming, but somewhere just tons, like just a tundra. It's all snow and stuff. And this guy's got, you know, they're always having to watch for grizzlies walking up to the house.
Yep.
So I'm pretty sure this guy doesn't leave his windows wide open.
No. Because you probably got bars on them.
I'd be concerned the bear would figure out a way to get in anyway.
Absolutely.
I certainly wouldn't leave the windows open.
No, sir.
You lug nut.
Hey, this next story, I wish Sarah were here for this episode, because this story, we have a very similar story.
Well, this also is something technology can help you with.
Yeah.
If you have an iPhone.
This is 2017.
Probably an Android.
Yeah.
It'll tell you where you parked your car.
Yep.
Without even trying.
Yeah.
It just says, hey, I got this.
Follow me.
Hold my beer. I got this.
Follow me.
Teen drives to rock concert. I would think that'd be a pretty boring concert. The rocks I've seen. Now, they got those rocks that slide across the surface of the desert.
Those are awesome.
Those are pretty cool. But just a regular rock concert. What are you doing over there?
My headphones are loose.
Hey,
my ear's better, by the way. Thanks for asking.
I can tell.
Yeah.
The dad jokes are strong today.
Yes, they are.
Anyway, so.
I hope it went an REO concert.
It'd be about as boring. Teen drives to rock concert, loses car after he forgets where he parked. The morning after Sunday's Metallica concert,
ooh,
Gavin Strickland called his parents with a horrible confession. After driving across the Canadian border from Syracuse in the name of heavy metal, he'd lost the car.
Ma, I can't find the car and the Sandman's after me.
This weekend, after a day spent in Oshawa, Gavin parked his blue-green Nissan Versa sedan somewhere on the first floor of an indoor parking garage. Was this a Seinfeld episode?
Yes.
The garage was within an $8 cab ride of the Rogers Center.
So he parked in this garage, got in a cab, and it only cost him $8 to get to the concert. He should have been able to find this car.
You think he should?
Yeah.
He just doesn't know where. Now, 3 days later, his parents have enlisted the Amateur Scavenger Hunters of Toronto to help remedy the directional snafu of their doofy son. It says doofy son. They need the people from 4chan.
Yes, 4chan can find it.
They will find it.
They know where it was beforehand.
Can't make this up. A Tuesday evening Craigslist post by Eric and Michelle Strickland, who reside in the U.S., reads, a $100 reward has been offered for anyone who will scour Toronto's parking garages for the wayward vehicle. Ambiguous landmarks Gavin remembers nearby include a Starbucks. Well, that narrows it down to every corner.
Every corner.
Some construction.
Every corner.
A strange spiral outdoor sculpture. Now, that might be useful.
Every other corner.
And possibly a bank, which may or may not be RBC.
It's by the bank. Oh!
The car itself has, of course, Florida.
Of course.
License plates, a small Canadian flag attached to the door frame, and a Bernie Sanders bumper sticker. Leave it!
Explains a lot.
Yep. Gavin's father, Eric, says he bought the car for his son last year to get to work and community college in the fall. He works at Lowe's here locally. He's been biking to work until he gets the car back, Eric told the Star. He's done an awful lot of walking over the past 2 days. He's pretty sore. When Gavin first left the concert and realized he hadn't a clue where the car was parked, he tried to deal with the problem without alerting his parents.
He didn't want to get
from
in trouble.
From Dusk Till Dawn. Well, that's a scary movie.
Yes,
why would he watch? Why stop watching the movie?
Yeah.
And look for the car.
Yeah.
Sunday to Monday, he wandered through parking garages. Eventually, defeated, he called home and admitted to the whole mess. I'm just hoping this is just a funny family story coming up when we find the thing, Eric said.
If.
And we can talk about it for years down the road.
If they find the thing. So my daughter went to a concert in Nashville a few years back, and I get a phone call about 10:30. And it was closer to midnight.
Those aren't good phone calls.
No, they're not. It's scary. But she's like, Dad, I can't find my car. I said, well, where are you? She said, I'm at the police station. I said, stay there. I'm on my way. I don't want her wandering around Nashville.
Does anyone think, now maybe she didn't have this,
but it took us 2 hours to find her car.
Hit the remote control until it beeps.
No, I mean, she had parked a few miles away and walked.
Yeah, that's just silliness.
It was one of those street festivals.
That's why I don't go to those.
Yeah. Headline is, woman.
If I go to them, your daughter will lose her car.
Oh, it's another weird marriage story. What's with the weird marriage stories, Craig? We have a lot of those lately.
Well, because people are weird, and if they weren't weird, they wouldn't be on the show, and if they weren't on the show, we wouldn't have a show.
We had the lady married the train station.
We did. We had the guy that married the pizza.
We had a guy that married himself. We've had all this. Okay, anyway, headline is, woman marries calf, believing him to be her husband reincarnated.
Well, if it goes south, at least it'd be a good hamburger.
Yeah. This is from Cambodia.
Oh, and they need a hamburger.
Boy, they do. Cambodia's latest social media sensation is a 5-month-old calf believed to be a villager to be reincarnated of her dead husband. Kim Hong, age 74, said up to 100 people a day visit her home in Northwest Krati province to see the calf. She says behaves very similar to her husband.
Well, okay, that's not a stretch.
He walked around the house on all fours.
Yeah, with no pants.
he died more than a year ago. I believe that the calf is my husband because whatever he does, it's in exactly the same way as my husband did when he was alive. She told the TV.
And she told the TV. This TV shrugged.
The TV thinks she's crazy too. The young cow was born in March and has attracted a strong following on social media. I thought it was quite unusual to see a cow go up to the house like this, says Takveen, age 32, referring to a video she saw on Facebook in which the calf walked up the stairs into the family's one-story home. So I came here to see it with my own eyes. Once inside the wooden house, the calf is fed, washed, and put to bed with a fluffy pillow.
The calf's not stupid. No, the calf's like, this is great.
I'll do whatever. Cambodia is 95% Buddhist, and many believe the soul of a person is reincarnated after death. I will keep him and take care of him for my entire life.
The calf's like, I'm just here for the kale.
The calf says, please don't die. They're going to eat me.
Yeah, please, please. Pasadena woman finds alleged burglar asleep on her floor after he made a sandwich.
Well, he couldn't fall asleep during, well, you know, or before.
He may not be able to go to sleep unless he's got his tummy's filled.
Must have been a good sandwich.
It might have been. A Pasadena woman woke to find a burglar asleep on the floor of her home after breaking in, rummaging through the house, and making himself a sandwich early Saturday.
I smell drugs. I mean, not in the studio here, but in this story.
I was like, you can smell that? The burglary was reported just after 6:30 a.m. in the 300 block of South Grand Avenue, Pasadena Police Lieutenant William Grisafe said. An intruder made his way into the home through an unsecured door and rummaged through several rooms, he said. But the man apparently developed an appetite while in the midst of the break-in. He decided to make himself a sandwich, the lieutenant said.
I'm a sandwich.
I am a sandwich. A woman who lives in the home awoke to find the burglar asleep on the floor. She called police, who responded and took him into custody without a struggle because he was full. Marvin Donerson, 51, was booked on suspicion of burglary, according to Pasadena police officials and Los Angeles County booking records. Donerson, who has an extensive arrest record in Los Angeles dating back to at least 3 decades, was being held without bail due to a hold placed on him by the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation records show.
How about that? How about that?
How about that?
Headline is felon.
Take my sandwich outside. How about that?
Felon named Felony charged with new felonies.
Oh, this hurts.
A 22-year-old named Felony Hudson is who's going to name? They asked for it. His parents asked for this kind of behavior.
They set him up for failure.
A 22-year-old named Felony Hudson is accused of felony kidnapping, felony eluding, felony possession of a stolen vehicle, and several misdemeanors after police pursued him across state lines. The Salem resident appeared Wednesday in court, where he is charged with a total of 3 felonies and 4 misdemeanors. Officers received a report Tuesday evening of a woman being assaulted inside a moving vehicle, according to the Vancouver police spokesman Kim Kapp. The driver, later identified as Hudson, was driving erratically and ran a red light. And plus, Craig, the vehicle had been reported stolen about a week before.
Of course it was.
I love a monkey story, though.
Me too.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
You got it?
Are you
got
ready?
A monkey story?
Mystery monkey attacks Texas teen and grandpa in pickup truck.
The monkey was in a pickup truck.
The monkey was in a pickup truck and then just attacked
drove
them.
Up.
Attacked them.
Yeah.
Unprovoked. Animal rescuers in Texas are searching for a monkey that reportedly attacked a teenager and her grandfather while they were driving near Houston. Shouldn't be hard to find a monkey running around in Texas. I don't think they really are. That's not a common
thing. Those Texan monkeys are, you know what they are? They're mystery monkeys.
And they're packing heat, too.
Ooh.
You don't mess with Texas.
No.
Don't mess with the Texas monkey.
I don't want what they're selling.
Michael.
Or throwing.
Michael Schleasy said he was driving Tuesday in the city of South Houston when he and his 16-year-old granddaughter, Mariah, spotted a monkey in the road. Mariah, who was riding in the passenger seat of the pickup truck, rolled down her window to snap a photo of the unusual animal, but the monkey apparently had other plans. Well, first of all, monkey's not an unusual animal.
No. I don't know. They're pretty unusual. You don't see a lot of monkeys.
Pretty common, though.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
in the zoos.
I mean.
But you don't see them walking down the street.
I just think that uncommon is not really a practical way of describing him. He was related to the monkey that takes the selfies.
Oh, yes. The selfie monkey.
Yeah, which probably was a beautiful picture of that monkey.
It was okay.
That picture of the monkey, the selfie.
Yes, I remember it.
Big old toothy grin.
Yes,
this is a really
happy.
Cute picture.
And they're still trying to figure out who's supposed to get the rights from that, remember?
Well, yeah. Yeah, PETA's suing the poor guy.
Crazy.
Like they have any stake in this at all.
It's crazy. And the monkey was having the time of his life.
Yeah.
It wasn't any...
The pair said the monkey was... If we go back to the monkey in Texas now, is that okay?
You brought up the selfie monkey.
I didn't get to her quote. Ready?
Yeah.
I wanted her to take a picture of it, but we never thought it would jump in the window, Michael Schlesinger said.
Darn it.
The pair said the monkey was soon inside the window. It hops onto the window of our truck and does that little thing it does.
What is that? That thing you do.
I don't know. I'm scared. It jumps on me, Mariah Schling said. The teenager said the monkey left scratches on her shoulder, neck, and head. The attack ended when Michael Schling knocked the primate out of the vehicle. I hollered at it, and I hit it right in the head, right in the face. Knocked it out of the window, he said. Mariah said she was not bitten by the monkey, so she didn't need a rabies shot. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here.
Slow down.
She said her doctor gave her antibiotics for the scratches. It was so scary, she said on Facebook. South Houston's Humane Department said investigators are trying to locate the monkey. Just look up in the trees.
That's where they stay.
They stay in trees.
Yes, they like trees.
They like to
climb bananas. Trees.
And maybe they should do some research. Watch those Planet of the Apes movies.
All right.
That probably teach them a lot.
Hey, since this is our 100th episode, we're going to do a little something special because
we're going to make it entertaining.
We've got that would be special. We've got hours and hours of cutout stuff that we've done over the 100 episodes, bloopers, you know, where we mess up, and I just kind of hang on to this stuff, and every once in a while I'll release a little bit, like the your ums. Remember the ums?
Yeah, the ums were good.
So right now, I'm going to play just a small selection of some of our cutouts. Since it's our 100, then we're going to throw them all away and start over for the next 100 episodes. But for right now, enjoy these cutouts. We'll be right back. Interesting, because the Japanese always invent things having to do with body odor. Have you noticed that? I remember the first...
Can you back that up?
Yeah.
No, could you back up? Your ear is disgusting me right now. Threw you off, didn't
it? Did. They're the first ones to invent, or they invented underwear that absorbs gas.
I don't want to know that.
Our listeners don't either, so I'm pretty cutting this out, but I'm just telling you.
Why not leave it?
You need that.
Okay.
Well, you just got muffled weird. What was that?
Whoa.
Okay, so the Craig tip.
Yeah.
If you walk in a row of stalls in the bathroom.
No, start it like this. If you want to use...
Oh, you could tell me how to do my job.
Yeah, because you started it wrong.
Okay.
All right, here's Craig's tip. If you want to use the cleanest toilet in a public restroom...
Right.
Use the very first one you walk to when you walk into the
bathroom. Now just became Aaron's tip.
No, I was reading your tip.
Doesn't work that way.
Well...
It's yours now.
Learn to do
forever
it right.
Yours,
then.
You will forever be associated with the toilet tip.
I've already...
TT. Toilet tip.
I've already got the Craig tip.
No, I'm going to the next
song.
One. Be okay. Cautious. Accidents do happen.
In toilets.
I was going to say that.
We had a story about an accident that happened in a toilet. Remember
the
guy that fell through?
Yeah. No, he intentionally did that, though.
Yeah, but he accidentally because he couldn't get back out.
Accidents do happen in toilets.
All right. Thank you, Christopher Walken.
No, that was more like... Never mind.
Okay.
King George II even died falling off of one in 1760. And nearly 40,000 Americans are injured in toilets every year. Okay, these have got to be blue states.
Elvis Presley died on a toilet.
Oh yeah, but that was drug related.
Interesting fact about that.
What? Oh, we broke our rule. I made a political thing.
Oh, dude.
Got to start over.
All right. All right. I'll give you an interesting fact. Let's start over with that.
Why don't I just start with me giving the instrument? Oh, like this would not go over bad.
That don't go no bad.
What if I could do this way? I talk of this way. You ready?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, go ahead.
On an average, babies change their nappy.
I think that's UK for diaper.
I guess so. Thanks for clarifying that, because
sure.
I was like thinking snoring, sleeping.
No.
Babies change their nappy, their diapers, 10,000 times.
What?
Before. First of all, I've never met a baby that ever changed its diaper.
We were thinking the exact
same
thing.
Yeah, that we've been around each other too much. I've never in my life ever seen a baby that would change it. That's,
wouldn't that be convenient,
That'd be
though?
a $1 million idea.
Boy.
If you figure that one out.
If you can train your child to do that.
So they're 10,000 diapers. I honestly.
Yeah.
I did not change 10,000 diapers on my kids. That's not true.
What about Glenna?
What?
Glenna?
Oh, well, she doesn't wear diapers.
Not yet.
Oh. Boy, let's just cut that one out. That's just getting too dangerous. 5:30 p.m., a Woodlawn woman was driving. Here, if you're a Woodlawn woman, you're in the grave.
This is here.
I don't know if you're here in this area. Yeah. Woodlawn, you'd be in the... Never mind. Anyway, let's just start over.
But okay. We had a lot of good stuff there.
I'm just going to start at 5:30.
Oh, okay.
It'll be 5:30 soon.
Yeah.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
She felt Scott could have targeted her dog. What?
What in the world?
What the heck?
What in the world?
This is a totally different story.
It is totally different.
Okay, we're going to tell this as we're ready.
Something happened.
I don't know.
All right, let's start over.
No, we're going to start with the deer flu, and then I'm going to talk about this is not your topic. And then I'm going to say, and this is the part where the story veers into a completely different story.
Wait, now, totally is a different story.
All right,
take the next one.
You ready?
Yeah.
Hey, next story.
Wait a minute. I was talking to you. Hey, next story.
That's okay, next story.
I'm the editor.
Okay, don't call yourself.
I'm not doing it this time.
Ready?
Yeah. I'm ready. You know what, Craig? I'm ready.
Okay, ready?
Ready. Ooh. Cough it up.
Next story. Thanks, Mr. Solo.
He got it up. That's from Christmas Vacation, you know. He got it up. I say we cut it.
Is that enough?
Yeah.
How do you tell?
We are at 30 minutes, and I'm going to do the nerdy words thing, and then add a song. It'll be a 30-minute podcast.
You're going to sing?
Yeah. I'm going to do your favorite. I'm going to do At the Copacabana.
How about?
Do you like piña colada? Oh, no, I know which one you like. Talk about. Pop
piña colada.
Music.
Talk about. Okay. Piña colada. Put the rum in the glass.
And you mix it all up.
Pineapple.
Put the gun in the coconut. Well, Craig.
Oh, I see what you did there. You beat me. Don't say. Okay, you ruined it now. Okay, you got ahead of me.
You forget I read these ahead of time.
You're not supposed to.
I'm supposed to. You're not.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
The court heard that Michael then parked his car and banged on Jenner's door while shouting, "Get out of the house."
He was going to handle it.
Jenner did not emerge.
What did I say? Headline is, cops say, man starts fire, threatens to burn down the house, flees, crashes, flees again, finally caught.
How many people have set their houses on fire because they got mad?
This guy's like a Benny Hill act.
Yeah, okay, but here's the deal.
Yeah.
So, do you ever get so mad the first thing you think of is I'm going to get some matches and kerosene?
Never. No.
But we've had multiple stories.
I get mad. I think I'm going to step outside for a minute and cool off.
We've had multiple stories where people trying to get people to leave.
Yep.
Getting mad at people.
Yep.
Whatever.
You know what? We're going to have to come up with a fire theme.
Okay.
All right. I'll do it. Eventually.
Yeah. Probably not.
So there you go. We're back now.
That was pretty good.
This is live. Those are actually just...
Good may not have been the right adjective.
They're funny. I love a good blooper.
Yeah.
I do.
That's why I'm on the show with you.
Yes. And, Craig, let's go somewhere else now. Since we did that, I'm going to play our three biggest stories that have gotten the most feedback since we've been...
From the top 100.
From the top...
I know one that's going to be in there.
Okay, yeah, you do. You sure do. But here's... And I'm not going to play the whole thing because they're all really long, but I'm going to play some highlights of our three biggest... what's the word?
I'm getting weepy over here.
Oh, come on. Have a hanky or something. Anyway, these are the three stories that have brought the most feedback from you, our listener. Enjoy. Headline is...
Just say it.
Heebie Bee Gees.
Say it one more time.
Heebie Bee Gees.
Say headline is.
Headline is.
Okay.
Heebie Bee Gees.
Heebie Jeebies?
No, Heebie Bee Gees.
Heebie Bee Gees.
Heebie Bee Gees.
Heebie Bee Gees.
Bee Gees legend Barry Gibb claims to have seen ghosts of his brothers in disturbing vision.
I would say that would be disturbing.
What if the Bee Gees visited you?
I guess they were staying alive.
All but Barry.
What? If they what?
What if they visited you?
Why would they do that?
Well,
if they did, I'd have a talk with them about burning down Johnny Cash's house.
Oh, but sold that.
Bitter much?
I don't think they owned it.
Barry owned it.
I thought he sold it before it burned down.
No, he had people renovating it. The story is he had it renovated. Story is he had people renovating it, and then they set it on fire because they hated Johnny Cash. No, I'm just kidding. No. That's not true.
No, they wanted to see a ring of fire.
Oh. It's actually tragic. It's just a big... The Rock Foundation's off
there. I hear that fire engine coming down the street.
He wouldn't be singing that. He's dead.
I met him. I shook Johnny Cash's hand.
I think I saw him in a restaurant.
Shakes hand?
No, he looked
winner
over.
Winner me.
He looked over.
Winner. Winner.
No, because I was eating some pretty good Tex-Mex at the time, so I think I won. But the thing is, he looked over at me, kind of gave me this, "Hey there, buddy. Hey, buddy." He kind of gave me that look. I saw him one time at the mall back in the 80s.
We used to see him all over.
He was wearing... You don't tell people where you are.
I'm not in Hendersonville anymore.
I know, it's true. I wish we were, though. You know why?
Why?
It's a pretty cool town.
Can we get back to the story?
I just feel like there's so much extra fluff in this right now.
Bee Gees legend, Barry Gibb.
Heebie Bee Gees?
Heebie Bee Gees.
Heebie Bee Gees?
claims to have seen ghosts.
Let's have a show of hands. Of who has fallen asleep waiting for the story to get started?
In disturbing vision.
So Bee Gees, Barry Gibb.
The singer.
Claims to have seen ghosts of his brothers in a disturbing vision.
Now 70 years old.
Why is it not just a vision?
I'm surprised he can see anything at that age.
I'm not even that. I'm pushing middle age thing and I can't see anything.
This is what got me. He, not only has he seen the ghost of his brothers. So
his wife.
His wife, Linda, has seen ghost of his brother. She said, like, you know.
Linda?
I saw Andy in the hall. No, Andrew. She calls him Andrew. Saw Andrew in the hall last night.
Well, I seem to recall somebody I know has got a ghost story in their house.
The singer, now age 70.
Not going to talk about it, are you?
Says he and his wife, Linda, had disturbing visions of dead bandmate Robin and younger brother Andy.
I would hope that it was only...
What about Maurice? He's not invited.
I don't know. My vision is there's a cartoony shadow figure on the wall of Andy Gibb shadow dancing.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be awesome. And he's doing the staying alive moves.
Do you believe any of this, or you think this is all just like jive talking? Think it's jive talking?
I think it's probably jive talking.
Either that or Barry's had a night fever.
I mean, what they're doing on the back.
Or maybe he started a joke. And this.
So I get one in there and you ignore it completely.
No, I wanted to.
You wrote them down.
I wrote down a list of songs that we could use with this story.
His three brothers, what they're doing in the back. They should be dancing.
See what happens.
Oh, come on, I'm done. you have railroaded me on this whole story.
Barry said. It's not fun, right? Because wait, that's my Australian. I need to.
They are Australian.
Oh, okay. It's not fun, right? Because right, you're not quite sure what it is about it, right?
You can.
And that doesn't make any sense, but that's what he said.
Everything you say makes no sense.
If it was real, I saw Robin and my wife say Andy. Maybe it's a memory producing itself outside of your consciousness mind, or maybe it's real.
I really feel like this whole thing needs to be redone.
I think you're insane. This is gold.
We've ruined all this.
So the thing is, Maurice is still... Maurice hasn't revisited. Andy and Robin are the two. You know why those two? Because they've had too much heaven. He added, the biggest question of all, right?
How do you mend a broken podcast?
Okay, now that one's better. That's better.
I'm so glad. Hey, by the way,
yeah,
you sit there and do what you're doing. Me and the other two or three listeners,
yeah,
are gonna just sit in the corner and wait for you to finish. Okay.
He added the biggest question of all.
We're gonna be back over here if you need us.
Is there life after death? I'd like to know. I can help him out with that. I mean, he's 70. He'll know soon enough as it is. All right, come on back. We got a podcast to do.
I don't know. You don't seem to want to have anything to do with anybody except for yourself right now,
Barry.
You're really proud of yourself, aren't you?
The last surviving member of the Bee Gees lost three brothers. We should probably go help him find them.
Okay, first of all,
I'm sorry.
The Bee Gees before Staying Alive were actually a pretty darn good band.
So you like the pre Bee Gees?
I mean,
before the falsetto?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they also have written, Barry himself have written like a string of hits.
I'm a huge Bee Gees fan.
Not just a string of hits, but string of hits.
I'm not ashamed.
I'm not either. I ain't scared
at all.
And we have a lot in common.
What's your favorite Bee Gees song?
Wait, we have a lot in common. With the Bee Gees.
You and I?
Yeah, no, with the Bee Gees. You know what it is?
Yeah, one of us has talent and the other's her backup singer.
No, actually, it's just that we like the Bee Gees. We're a tragedy.
I see.
And this podcast, really, we started a joke. And the whole world's crying.
Yeah, you're right. You know what?
It's exactly like that. What are you sniffing your hand for?
I think Lee Berry Studio got new soap. Yeah, smells good. What's your favorite Bee Gees song?
This is actually right now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first time ever Aaron has sniffed his hand during the podcast and said...
Well, no, I scratched my nose and I caught this whiff of pleasantness.
Listen, next week when you might hear Aaron say...
Oh, it smells good.
It smells like the Lee Berry Studios changed soap.
So, you haven't answered my question.
I heard him sing it not too long ago on the Opry, actually. I saw a clip of Barry Gibb came to the Opry. I don't know why, but it was cool. Probably because they wanted
to... Was Andy with
him?
What if they'd have showed up with him? What if they'd have, like, popped up on stage?
Do you want to hear my favorite song or what?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's written a whole string of stuff, but other people's songs. But
he was the only one with talent, to be honest.
How Do You Mend a Broken Heart is a great song.
Well, sure it is.
I'm saying that...
You act like you're saying something we don't know.
I love the vibe of all the Saturday Night Fever stuff.
Yeah,
but and I like all that stuff.
Be like better, BGs or Sha-na-na.
Why would I even compare those?
They're not even in the same ballpark.
No,
but I was thinking of hand jive and jive talking.
Ladies and gentlemen, this would be the time of your life to turn to the podcast sitting next to you.
What's your favorite?
Turn
BG
the next
song?
Station.
Is
over.
It going to?
I think that how do you brand a smoking heart? How do you smoke a Brendan heart? How do you mend a broken heart? I think maybe it really hit me because I know he was singing, thinking about his brothers when he sang it.
You've taken 10 minutes to answer a one sentence question.
Says the guy who has notes written down all the Bee Gees jokes that he could come up with. At the end of the day.
There you go, E.
At the end of the day,
yeah.
Andy Gibb might be gone,
yeah.
But he dated Victoria Principal.
Andy wasn't a Bee Gee.
He was a Brothers Gibb.
Yes, he was.
That's what BG's mean. That's what BG stands for, Brothers Gibb.
Yeah, but he was never in the band.
He was in the band, but he's still one of the Brothers Gibb.
No.
To me, he'll always be one of them.
No, he wasn't a BG.
I know he wasn't a BG. I'm leaving.
This will be the shortest episode we've ever had. Well, actually.
I hope you can cut a lot of this out. There's a lot of crap in here.
This is good stuff. You know what this is? Podcast gold.
Let me tell you something.
Oh, great. Okay, now I will cut some stuff out.
Let me tell you something. It's a tragedy to even let you guys in here.
Nights on Broadway. That's my favorite.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Okay. Man turns into tricycle in Lagos.
Okay, so when you first read that, you think he's maybe driving and he turns into a tricycle, right?
No. I think he turns into one.
Well, let's read.
A man has allegedly turned into a tricycle. What do we pronounce this like?
Kiki Napop.
In the Pedro area of Shimolu, Lagos State, after being forced to pick up a key which he dropped on the road. According to a social media user who shared the unbelievable story.
Wait, that's not true because I believe it.
Yeah, you do. You do believe.
Yeah.
The truth is out there.
I know.
The man had accosted a young boy and had asked him to pick up the key which he, the man, threw on the floor. But the boy refused. Boom, boom, boom. The man was said to have insisted, but the boy refused to pick up the key. This got the attention of the people, and the man was said to have told everyone who cared to listen the boy was being disrespectful. But the crowd forced the man to pick his key up by himself, and that's when the unexpected happened.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah. Oh, this is what they sent out to parents.
Yes. Please, parents, teachers, guardians, continuously educate your wards on the need to be careful. I don't know why they talk like they're from the South.
I don't either.
They were from the South part of this country.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. Please educate your wards on the need to be careful and not talk to strangers on the road. An incident occurred at Pedro Shimolu
on
Tuesday, November 22nd, precisely at famous bus stop.
Oh, the famous bus stop.
One.
I love that place.
A man stopped a child returning from school and asked him to pick up a key from the ground.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
You ready?
I can't wait.
To continue the story.
Yes.
The child refused, asking the man, couldn't he pick it up himself? And this got the man all agitated.
He was shaking in his boots.
And he started shouting at the child, saying he lacked respect for his elders and all sorts, but the child still refused.
I think he said, just pick up the key.
Yeah.
Just pick it up.
This attracted the attention of passersby, and luckily,
yeah,
a police van was passing by.
All right, hang on.
I wonder if it was actually a van or a person that turned into a van.
I want to point out that there's many witnesses right now.
Okay.
Including a van full of police,
right,
or at least two.
Right. And they stopped to find out what the problem was.
Hey, what's the problem?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, what's the problem?
Hey, what's the problem?
After listening to the man, they asked the child who owned the key.
They asked him, who owns this key?
He asked him who owned the key. I said, like the kid owned the key.
Yeah, you said they asked the kid who owned the key.
I kind of put a comma or something in there. That was not right.
Uh-uh.
Okay, so he asked the kid who owned the key, right?
Right.
And the boy replied, and it was for the man. So the police started getting suspicious. and they asked the man to pick up the key.
Right.
He refused.
Hey, I don't pick up the key.
No, I don't want to touch the key.
That key to stay there.
But he was forced to.
They pulled the gun. They said, you pick that key up.
Let's take this down.
Yeah.
Immediately, he picked the key. He turned into a brand new tricycle. And actually, that's how that said that. Actually, should have picked up the key.
But yes. Just,
immediately, he picked up the key. And he turned into a brand new tricycle.
This is amazing.
Everyone ran away.
Sure they did.
And even the policemen were scared.
Do you think it made a noise? Like, boom.
I don't know. It makes like some metal thing. That was like I was beatboxing or something.
Yeah, not bad.
The tricycle was eventually pushed to the Pedro police station.
Okay, let me make this out for everybody. It's not like like a kid's tricycle.
It's like one of those little goofy little bitty van looking tiny car.
It's got one wheel on the front.
It looks like a clown car.
It kind of does, except it only holds two or three people. But
not if it's a clown car.
Mr. Bean drove something kind of like this on his show.
Okay.
It's one of those. He didn't turn into a tricycle. He turned into a car with three wheels.
They're calling it a tricycle, but he turned into a little bitty car. So anyway, the tricycle was eventually pushed to the Pedro police station. This is a real-life incident. Anyone in doubt can go to the Pedro police station to ascertain the authenticity of this post.
We should take a trip, Craig. We got to get to the bottom of this.
There's a couple reasons we like it. We like Texas.
Yeah.
We like food.
Yep.
Actually, a third thing, we like state fair food.
Yes.
Which we're arguing about because I say state fair food is always funnel cakes, corn dogs, popcorn, stuff like that. You're saying it's actually up a notch.
Yes.
Deep fried Oreos, deep fried
Snickers. This is my definition of state fair food. You can only find it at the state fair.
But that's not really true.
No, well, maybe.
Because
maybe
I can find deep fried Snickers at a drive-in theater up the street.
Well, then I would scratch that. I haven't seen it, so in my mind.
So you're saying
still,
I'm lying.
I'm not saying you're lying. What I'm saying is, on my list, that's still a state fair food.
Or drive-in food.
Nope, because I haven't seen
it. Okay, whatever. So what happened? What's with Walmart now? You want me to do it or you want to do it?
So, the Texas Walmart opening restaurant that will serve only state fair foods. The bizarre, greasy, and often double deep fried foods of the State Fair of Texas are iconic and often imitated. But sadly, they only come around once a year. Well, not anymore. Isaac Russo, two-time winner of the Big Tex Choice Award for Most Creative, is opening State Fair Treats, a restaurant dedicated to serving the finest State Fair fare. Inside his local Walmart.
State Fair Fair?
And then in Plano, Texas, later this month. We may have to take a road trip, Craig.
You know, when we were kids, there was a restaurant in the malls called Carousel.
I remember that, yeah.
And if you will recall, it was all carnival food.
Yes.
They had like popcorn, cotton candy.
Candy apples.
They had tacos, candy apples, that kind of stuff. And they made their business on doing this. So this guy's not really that original.
Well, let's wait. Let's read more, shall we?
Keep reading.
Okay. The menu will feature 45 delectable snacks and treats that have been...
That is a matter of opinion. I'm sure not all of them are delectable.
Yeah, well, that's true. I find 50% of the fair food sounds appealing to me. The menu will feature 45 delectable snacks and treats that have been spotted at various state fairs around the country.
Ooh, there's one. There's one.
Including Russo's own award-winning cookie fries.
Cookie fry.
Smoky bacon margarita.
What? Smoking.
And fried Pop-Tarts.
Woo!
You don't find those at your drive-thru, Craig, under here.
No, you don't.
And deep-fried Cuban rolls.
How the Cubans feel about that?
Are those cigars?
I don't know. Deep-fried cigars. Write that down.
At the end of the day, it's incredible that you...
cookie fry!
Craig is trying to make me pass out on Mike. And if he ever succeeds, we're not cutting that.
Keep going. Move it on.
At the end of the day, it's
cookie fry. At the end of the day, keep going.
Okay, you got close that time. I actually got dizzy.
Okay, keep going.
At the end of the day,
cookie fry. Cookie fry. Mama passed me the cookie fry.
You're getting close. Just stop it.
Cookie fry.
You gotta quit.
Some of those cookie fried fries. cookie fry.
Okay. At the end of the day, it's incredible that you have someone like Walmart believing in a small entrepreneurial guy and seeing the potential of what we can bring, Russo told the Dallas Morning News. The State Fair of Texas, for me, has been the greatest blessing that's ever come to my family. And the man, that guy, that's sad. That is a sad
making
statement.
State Fair of Texas, for me, is the greatest blessing. That, I don't know. He got some cookie fries. I can't stop.
Cookie fry, cookie. She is for cookie fry. He continues, the opportunities that were coming to us because of the state fair, words can't describe it. I think they just did.
Wow.
Russo and his family have been staples of the State Fair of Texas every year, and Walmart approached him with the idea of opening up a restaurant. If all goes well, Russo plans to take his State Fair restaurant on the road and expand across the country. I think that's a I think it's a swell idea.
Especially if you like cookie fries.
Cookie fries are awesome.
Cookie fry! Okay.
All right, Craig. That wraps episode 100.
100.
100.
That's hard to believe.
How do you put up with me?
How do you do so fast?
It's huge.
It's like we were skipping numbers.
100.
That's a lot. It just seems like yesterday.
I'd like to thank some people. It's 100. I'd like to thank some. You know who I want to thank? I want to thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I want to thank Glenna and the rest of your family. You got a lovely, beautiful family.
Well, thank you.
I'd like to thank my family for putting up with this because this takes a lot of time. I'd like to thank Randall from Don't Wake the Kids.
How about Adam?
I'd like to thank Adam, DC, no, DK. Adam's buddy, DK, who is also part of the Ace Podcast Network.
How about Lee? Mark?
We got to thank Lee.
Adam and Lee. Mark.
Mark.
Mark put us on the map in Australia.
Mark sure did, and we're still on his station in Australia, too.
Undiscovered rock radio people.
He just had a birthday. He turned 40. He's way younger than you. I told him not to feel bad.
It'd be a good time to tell people.
I'd like to thank my daughter, Sarah. She's been on the show. I'd like to thank Sean Rourke.
Man, this is getting tiring.
I'd like to thank Mark Patch, especially. You know,
he's the man. He's the composer of that awesome intro music we started several shows back.
And our closing music, which this is.
Yeah, that's what it is right there. And thank everybody for continuing to feel bad for us and listen.
Chaz and Frank.
Yeah.
Thank Chaz and Frank.
Yeah, yeah.
All the guys in our men's group. We could go on for days. Mom and Dad. My dad is our number one listener. He never misses an episode.
I want to thank our one listener in Hong Kong.
Yes.
Well, we've got more than that, but there's one in particular. She knows who she is.
That's right.
Anyway, guys, see you during the next 100, I guess.
Yeah, I hope so.
And remember, once a week from here on out.